Rhyme
and Treason.
What about the people? Why is America
not the greatest country in the world, Professor? That's my answer.
You're saying
yes.
Let's talk about
fine. Sharon, the NEA is a loser. Yeah, it accounts for a penny out of our paycheck, but he gets to hit you with it anytime he wants. It doesn't cost money. It costs votes. It costs airtime and column inches. You know why people don't like liberals? Because they lose. If liberals are so fucking smart, how come they lose so goddamn always?
Hey.
And with a straight face, you're gonna tell students that America is so star-spangled awesome that we're the only ones in the world who have freedom? Canada has freedom. Japan has freedom. The UK, France, Italy, Germany, Spain, Australia, Belgium has freedom. So 207 sovereign states in the world, like 180 of them have freedom.
All right.
And yet you, sorority girl, just in case you accidentally wander into a voting booth one day, there's some things you should know, and one of them is, there is absolutely no evidence to support the statement that we're the greatest country in the world. We're 7th in literacy, 27th in math, 22nd in science, 49th in life expectancy, 178th in infant mortality, 3rd in median household income, number 4 in labor force, and number 4 in exports. We lead the world in only 3 categories: number of incarcerated citizens per capita, number of adults who believe angels are real, and defense spending, where we spend more than the next 26 countries combined, 25 of whom are allies. Now, none of this is the fault of a 20-year-old college student, but you nonetheless are, without a doubt, a member of the worst period, generation, period, ever, period. So when you ask what makes us the greatest country in the world, I don't know what the fuck you're talking about. Yosemite?
Difficult period of Watergate, I have felt it was my duty to persevere, to make every possible effort to complete the term of office to which you elected me. In the past few days, however, it has become evident to me that I no longer have a strong enough political base in the Congress to justify continuing that effort. Therefore, I shall resign the presidency effective at noon tomorrow. Vice President Ford will be sworn in as president at that hour in this office.
Episode 168 coming at you.
The greatest speeches in music.
That's right, speeches in music. You're going to hear pretty much the greatest speeches in history, you know. The military industrial complex.
As done with music in the background, or as an accompaniment, as some may say.
Yep, I can't really, unless like one instrumental, like on a short one, on a punk CD is cool with me, but as far as like note singing or lyrics or talking,
look at Fugazi, man.
They sing.
They did
a lot.
On yes, but they had a lot of instrumental tracks too.
Yeah, it just doesn't do it for me. I don't know.
I thought a lot of them were great, but like, but that's me too, right? Like, I like getting lost in music too, and just, you know,
the words are critical for me liking a song.
Like classical music is the most instrumental music, right?
Oh yeah,
there are no lyrics.
Almost impossible for me to listen to that shit.
But if you're doing something, if you have a task and it's on, it's like helping you engage in your task and like become more focused in your work, because you're not getting distracted with these other words and lyrics and thoughts, and like it's just this music and it's putting you into almost like a transcendental state of consciousness where like your awareness is heightened and you're like, oh yes, I got to do this and this is my next task. It's like mental cocaine almost, like. So in a lot of ways, instrumentation can be really cool. And that's why we came up with this idea, right? Because when you just listen to someone talk, it's one of the reasons why this isn't a talk show. Is because when you just listen to someone talk for 2 or 3 hours, it can start to sound fucking monotone and repetitive.
Yeah, you just zone out and don't even pay attention to what they're saying, you know?
Exactly. And so what we thought we would do is take these really great moments in history with these amazing speeches and put music behind it that could maybe help mirror or engage in the emotion of the speaker, so it almost feels like you're listening to a song, right? So as they reach that important part of the speech and, you know, I have a dream, and that beat hits right on it, like, bam, just slaps you in the face. You feel that moment. And that's what we're going to strive for here on this episode.
Like to give a shout out, The Best in Show with DJ Gower. I'm looking at the amazing flyer from
vintage
circa 2001, right?
Yeah, 2003 there.
So long ago. Anyway, he used to do this on his actual radio show on an actual radio station, but we never got paid for it. We were just volunteers. But
yeah, volunteers at a community radio station. Now, I can't take full credit for it. There was a DJ before me that had a reggae show on the station. And
Sister Shoshana.
No, it was not that.
Oh, well, that was me, right?
Yeah, that was the person that came on after your
show. I thought
show
you had some
something.
Other weird, like...
Oh, no, different story here.
Oh.
So what I was saying was, is that when I first started there at the station, there was someone that I was filling in for. And this person in the past had played like the Martin Luther King I Had a Dream speech, but with like reggae dub music in the background one day. And I heard him do it and I thought it was really cool shit. So I decided to like kind of do my own twist on it. And I don't remember what I played in the background for it, but I did the entire I Have a Dream speech, and I did electronica and, you know, jam rock and all sorts of stuff behind it, and it just worked and it was so much fun. And so we really wanted to just kind of maybe dedicate an entire hour to that.
That's right. So you'll hear a bunch of speeches and some cool music. So here we go. Thanks for listening. Rhyme.
And speeches of treason.
purpose of protecting the life of our nation and preserving the liberty of our citizens is to pursue the happiness of our people. Our success in that pursuit is the test of our success as a nation. For a century, we labored to settle and to subdue a continent. For half a century, we called upon unbounded invention and untiring energy to create an order of plenty for all of our people. The challenge of the next half century is whether we have the wisdom to use that wealth to enrich and elevate our national life and to advance the quality of our American civilization.
In order to insert Neuralace, a tiny needle which contains a rolled up mesh is placed inside the skull, whereby the mesh is then injected. The mesh unravels upon injection, encompassing the brain. Gradually, the Neuralace will integrate itself with the human brain, creating the perfect symbiosis between man and machine. So far, Neuralace has been tested on live mice. Upon autopsy, researchers found little negative consequences associated with the insertion of this mesh-like structure. However, I'm not sure if I want to be the first human volunteer. This technology sounds amazing. The ability to hook our brains up with machines and thereby enhance human intelligence could open up whole new worlds of possibilities for our species. It could even be the catalyst for the almost mythical technological singularity.
Some very sad news for all of you, and I think sad news for all of our fellow citizens and people who love peace all over the world. And that is that Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. Martin Luther King.
So is the very structure of our society. In the councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex. The potential for the disastrous rise of misplaced power exists and will persist. We must never let the weight of this combination endanger our liberties or democratic processes. We should take nothing for granted. Only an alert and knowledgeable citizenry can compel the proper meshing of the huge industrial and military machinery of defense with our peaceful methods and goals, so that security and liberty may prosper together.
But they are not the same thing for different people. For some who are travelers. The stars are guides. For others, they are no more than little lights in the sky. And he laughed again. Then he quickly became serious.
We shall fight in France, we shall fight on the seas and oceans, we shall fight with growing confidence and growing strength in the air, we shall defend our island, whatever the cost may be, we shall fight on the beaches, we shall fight on the landing grounds, we shall fight in the fields and in the streets, we shall fight in the hills, we shall never surrender, and if which I do not for a moment believe, this island or a large part of it was subjugated and starving, then our empire beyond the seas, armed and guarded by the British fleet, would carry on the struggle until in God's good time, the new world with all its power and might steps forth to the rescue and the liberation of the old.
I consider myself the luckiest man on the face, of the earth. When you look around, wouldn't you consider it privilege to associate yourself with such a fine-looking man as a standing in uniform in this ballpark today?
That I might have been given a bad break, but I've got an awful lot to live for. Thank you.
Just 2 hours ago, Allied Air Forces began an attack on military targets in Iraq and Kuwait. These attacks continue as I speak. Ground forces are not engaged. This conflict started August 2nd when the dictator of Iraq invaded a small and helpless neighbor. Kuwait, a member of the Arab League and a member of the United Nations, was crushed. Its people brutalized. 5 months ago, Saddam Hussein started this cruel war against Kuwait. Tonight, the battle.
Claimed by some that by removing Saddam we caused the terrorism today in the Middle East and that it would have been better to have left him in power. I profoundly disagree. Saddam was himself a wellspring of terror, a continuing threat to peace and to his own people. If he'd been left in power in 2003, then I believe he would once again have threatened world peace. And when the Arab revolutions of 2011 began, he would have clung to power with the same deadly consequences that we see in the carnage in Syria today.
The United States of America was suddenly and deliberately attacked by naval and air forces of the Empire of Japan.
A short time ago, an American airplane dropped one bomb on Hiroshima and destroyed its usefulness to the enemy. That bomb has more power than 20,000 tons of TNT. The Japanese began the war from the air at Pearl Harbor. They have been repaid many fold, and the end is not yet. With this bomb, we have now added a new and revolutionary increase in destruction to supplement the growing power of our armed forces.
Freedom of assembly. Somewhere I read of the freedom of speech. Somewhere I read of the freedom of press. Somewhere I read that the greatness of America is the right to protest far right. And so just as I say, we aren't gonna let any dogs or water hoses turn us around. We aren't going to let any injunction turn us around. Well, I don't know what will happen now. We've got some difficult days ahead. But it really doesn't matter with me now. Because I've been to the mountaintop. I don't mind. Like anybody, I would like to live a long life. Longevity has its place. But I'm not concerned about that now. I just want to do God's will.
Episode 168 coming at you. Speeches and music.
Are you guys listening? Should we have music in the background now while we're talking?
Of course.
Because we do that normally.
We do do that normally.
You said doo-doo.
Do-do-do-do-do.
But no, like, maybe we shouldn't in this episode, though, because maybe people will get confused and think that this is an important speech in human history.
I don't think there's any way they'll be confused that anything we say is worth a fuck. We're pushing 40 and we're trying to party and we pass out at 11 and what the hell.
Yeah, we have nothing.
I do remember beating DJ Gower by 55 points in NBA 2K18.
It was not,
I was being a complete dick about it.
I had no idea.
Because I was wasted.
I never played on the PlayStation 4.
Yeah,
whatever.
There you go. Yeah, of course. And, sorry for that. I'm like, man. What, I apologize.
I'm like, what button is pass? And he's like, steal, dunk. I'm like, okay. Thanks.
Oh, Lord. Anyway, we're here in Chico, speeches and music. There's some badass speeches out there that pretty much predicted the future we're living in now. Science fiction becoming reality. Pretty crazy time.
There was, you may recall the book 1984 by George Orwell, right? Where he talks about this weird kind of totalitarian future with Big Brother watching and all that, right? Do you remember this?
I do.
Yeah. So the other day I saw one where it was a picture of George Orwell, and it was like a quote that he had just said yesterday, even though he's been dead forever, right? And he goes, crazy how right I was, right?
We're in the Chico studio, giving you high quality shit. As always, 9 years later, rhymingtreasonradio@gmail.com, rhymingtreasonradio@yourmother.
Special shout out to the only person in 9 years to ever
give a shit, Kenny Blake.
Yeah.
Our only fan.
Well, no, our only financial supporter.
That's true. He donated $30 to the cause, which is amazing.
So that got us like a whole 3 months of podcasting.
That's true. Yep.
Like, I paid $10 like 4 years ago or something.
Haven't whined about it for a couple months, so I'll start whining right now. And if you want to sponsor us, send us some cash.
Just click on some ads. I think we're going to start,
The Fleshlight or something. That's what we'll end up getting a bit.
Oh, geez.
The Fleshlight.
Yeah.
Give us $12. Yeah. We have no integrity, people, because we've been fucking beaten down, brainwashed. My fight.
If you're in a band.
My fight is pretty much non-existent at this point.
Yeah, I'm a
corporate slave that just wants money. So
I was gonna say, if you're in a band, feel free to reach out to us. We very well may play your music.
We'll play it, absolutely.
Okay, we will play it absolutely. Look at that, that's definitive. We will play it absolutely. Now whether or not we make fun of it or modify it in some way, that's
DJ
entirely
Gower,
different.
He plays the bongos pretty well, so
yeah,
he's like a sponsored
the butt
by
bongos.
He's a bongo player, folks. Anyway, here we go. Speeches and music.
It's an ashiko, bro.
Rhyme.
It's not the bongo. Jeez, get right. It's not even a djembe, you retard.
He does love a big drum circle, though, folks. So if you want to join in,
ja.
All right, here we go.
Slap it a basement.
Speeches and music. Rhyme.
And oral treason.
But it's new to me.
See, I'm not one of these people who's worried about everything. You got people like this around you. Country's full of them now. People walking around all day long, every minute of the day, worried about everything. Worried about the air, worried about the water, worried about the soil. Worried about insecticides, pesticides, food additives, carcinogens. Worried about radon gas, worried about asbestos. Worried about saving endangered species. Let me tell you about endangered species, all right? Saving endangered species is just one more arrogant attempt by humans to control nature. It's arrogant meddling. It's what got us in trouble in the first place. Doesn't anybody understand that? Interfering with nature. Over 90% of all the species that have ever lived on this planet, ever lived, are gone. They're extinct. We didn't kill them all. They just disappeared. That's what nature does. They disappear these days at the rate of 25 a day. And I mean regardless of our behavior. Irrespective of how we act on this planet, 25 species that were here today will be gone tomorrow. Let them go gracefully. Leave nature alone. Haven't we done enough? We're so self-important. So self-important. Everybody's going to save something now. Save the trees, save the bees, save the whales, save those snails. And the greatest arrogance of all, save the planet. What? Are these fucking people kidding me? Save the planet? We don't even know how to take care of ourselves yet. We haven't learned how to care for one another. We're going to save the fucking planet? I'm getting tired of that shit. Tired.
What will the legacy of this vanishing century be? How will it be remembered in the new millennium? Surely it will be judged and judged severely in both moral and metaphysical terms. Its failures have cast a dark shadow over humanity. Two world wars, countless civil wars, a senseless chain of assassinations. Gandhi, the Kennedys, Martin Luther King, Sadat, Rabin, bloodbaths in Cambodia and Algeria, India and Pakistan, Ireland and Rwanda, Eritrea and Ethiopia, Sarajevo and Kosovo, the inhumanity in the Gulag and the tragedy of Hiroshima. And on a different level, of course, Auschwitz and Treblinka. So much violence, so much indifference.
Break, you're broke, you get choked and smoked out. You're living like a loaf, you can toast a ghost town.
but it was also the networks that elevated Stokely Carmichael and George Lincoln Rockwell from obscurity to national prominence. Nor is their power confined to the substantive. A raised eyebrow, an inflection of the voice, a caustic remark dropped in the middle of a broadcast can raise doubts in a million minds about the veracity of a public official or the wisdom of a government policy. One federal communications commissioner considers the powers of the network equal to that of local, state, and federal governments all combined. Certainly, it represents a concentration of power over American public opinion unknown in history. The American people would rightly not tolerate this concentration of power in government. Is it not fair and relevant to question its concentration in the hands of a tiny, enclosed fraternity of privileged men elected by no one and enjoying a monopoly sanctioned and licensed by government? The views of a majority of this fraternity do not, and I repeat, not represent the views of America.
It is we who have picked the cotton for nothing. It is we who are the maids in the kitchens of liberal white people. It is we who are the janitors, the porters, the elevator men. It is we who sweep up your college floors. Yes, it is we who are the hardest workers and the lowest paid. And the lowest paid. And that it is nonsensical for people to start talking about human relationships until they're willing to build new institutions. Black people are economically insecure. White liberals are economically secure. Can you begin to build an economic coalition? Are the liberals willing to share their salaries with the economically insecure black people they so much love? Then if you're not, are you willing to start building new institutions that will provide economic security for black people? That's the question we want to deal with. That's the question we want to deal with. We have to seriously examine the histories that we have been told, but we have something more to do than that. American students are perhaps the most politically unsophisticated students in the world. In the world. In the world. Across every country in this world, while we were growing up, students were leading the major revolutions of their countries. We have not been able to do that. They have been politically aware of their existence. In South America, our neighbors down below the border have one every 24 hours just to remind us that they're politically aware.
Let me tell you something you already know. The world ain't all sunshine and rainbows. It's a very mean and nasty place, and I don't care how tough you are, it will beat you to your knees and keep you there permanently if you let it. You, me, or nobody is going to hit as hard as life. But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done. Now, if you know what you're worth, then go out and get what you're worth. But you gotta be willing to take the hits and not pointing fingers saying you ain't where you wanna be because of him or her or anybody. Cowards do that, and that ain't you. You're better than that.
when television is bad, nothing is worse. I invite each of you to sit down in front of your own television set when your station goes on the air. Keep your eyes glued to that set until the station signs off. I can assure you that what you will observe is a vast wasteland. You will see a procession of game shows, formula comedies about totally unbelievable families, blood and thunder, mayhem, violence, sadism, murder, Western bad men, Western good men, private eyes, gangsters, more violence and cartoons. And endlessly commercials, many screaming, cajoling, and offending. And most of all, boredom. True, you'll see a few things you will enjoy, but they will be very, very few. And if you think I exaggerate, I only ask you to try them.
People don't become successful just by accident. You know, I mean, maybe the guy that found gold in California and started the gold rush, but don't count on that. That's a one in a lifetime kind of a situation. So you got to really have a specific goal. And to me, to have that vision that I want to be Mr. Universe, that I want to be the greatest bodybuilder of all time, that was a great vision, and that specifically to look like Reg Parkin.
Hitler, Eisenhower, Churchill would have killed to get that chip. And what do you do with that chip? You throw it away in the garbage. Or look at this chart. You'll see that way back in the 1960s, NASA had almost no computer power. Your cell phone today, one cell phone today, has more computer power, according to this chart, than all of NASA when they put two men on the moon. This means that if cars obeyed Moore's law, cars today would cost 10 cents. This means that when you park the car, you wouldn't even bother to put a quarter in the meter. The meter costs more than the car. So you wouldn't have to just park the car and walk away from it. So what does this mean? This means that by 2020, computer chips will cost about a penny. That's the cost of scrap paper. So we now know the future of the computer. The future of the computer will be everywhere and nowhere, hidden in the walls, hidden in the fabric of our life, just like electricity is, everywhere and nowhere. And this is the internet. We wrote the World Wide Web. The World Wide Web was written by a physicist to keep track of subatomic particles. And you can see here that the internet corresponds to prosperity. Where there is the internet, there's prosperity, there's commerce, science, finance. Where there's no internet, there's poverty. So one thing that we physicists do is we create something and then we simply give it away for free. So how will you communicate with the internet in the future? These are glasses that have full internet capability. You can download any website, any movie, do emails from these things, and they will also recognize people's faces. How many times have you bumped into somebody on the street and you say to yourself, who is this person? Jim, John, Jake, I know this person. In the future, your glasses will say, it's Jim, stupid, remember? You met him last week. Do you want to see his entire biography for you in your glasses? And let's say you're at a cocktail party. You're looking for a job, and you don't know who the heavy hitters are. In the future, you will know exactly who to suck up to at any cocktail party.
Episode 169 coming at you, Speeches and Music.
So, what do you guys think? Is this something that you guys like? I mean, we could do more of these if you want. Just let us know. We'll come up with stuff.
No one listens to our crap ass show, but we like it and we will keep making them.
Well, you know, some of the feedback that I've gotten, Matador, has been the fact that we're so negative, people don't like that, right? People don't like hearing us not only talking shit about ourselves, but talking shit about them. Like, oh, you don't listen to our show, you fucking idiot. Like, no one wants to hear that. Like, if I heard that and did not know either of us or anything, I'd be like, okay, then I'll stop
that
listening
makes me
to your
wanna
show.
Keep, that makes me want to keep doing that. Yeah. I'm just a dick. I'm sorry.
Yeah. I'm just letting you be aware. You can make your own conscious decision from
there.
I hate
you people.
There.
You're the worst. Anyway, Speeches and Music, that's the theme of the show.
Yeah, buddy.
DJ Gower's actual radio show. Used to do it all the time. It was pretty sweet.
That's right. It was.
While he went and smoked, you know.
Well.
He has his 14-minute songs.
But I could do it. I had to do it live, right? So, like, the speech would be going, and the instrumental would be, like, 2 or 3 minutes, but the speech would be, like, 10. So, like, I had to sit there, and I had to cut in at the right points.
Oh, yeah, fade in, cue up the other one, and CD skip it.
Where you could make it better, right, where I could, like, perfect stuff, which would take me hours here on the laptop, is, like, I could just, like, push the volume up a little bit here or drop the audio a little bit there and kind of give you this ebb and flow where it cut a little bit more to the music when the crowd started applauding or something like that, and really just kind of gave it this nice flow, which you can't really do with the program without, like I said, spending a lot of time.
We try to make a decent quality product, but we got this antiquated program. I've got limited knowledge
and limited time, you know.
I'd like to give a shout out to T Money. He's got some $3,000 recording program that's like insane. That he went to school to learn how to use it, college, you know. And it's just like, it's so far beyond what we're doing that I have nothing.
Well, because it's essentially doing this, but for one instrument or something, right?
Yeah,
it breaks a single instrument down to like each string of the guitar.
It's just like, you can, Jesus criminy, dude. Anyway, speeches and music. There's been some great speeches played on this podcast that you'll hopefully appreciate. Controversial, cool predictors of the future from like the 40s, 50s, 60s.
Yeah, we're going to find some gems, some obscure stuff too, like maybe you never heard of, whatever, but it'll be cool. It'll be fun. You'll like it. We trust us. We know what we're doing.
We do. So thanks for listening. We're closing out the show.
Oh, yeah.
Thanks
so
for listening.
I guess
you
at
did.
This point...
Turn out flames of hell. Hellfire. I said doctrines of the falling angel. No water. To quench your turn out flames of hell. Hellfire. Earth crisis. Earth crisis. All this suffering. Earth crisis.
Biologically, that shouldn't even be possible. So what happened? The first thing that happened was the arrival of a gene editing tool known as CRISPR in 2012. Many of you have probably heard about CRISPR, so I'll just say briefly that CRISPR is a tool that allows researchers to edit genes very precisely and easily and quickly. It does this by harnessing a mechanism that already existed in bacteria. Basically, there's a protein that acts like a scissors and cuts the DNA, and there's an RNA molecule that directs the scissors to any point on the genome you want. The result is basically a word processor for genes. You can take an entire gene out, put one in, or even edit just a single letter within a gene. And you can do it in nearly any species. Okay, remember how I said that gene drives originally had two problems? The first was that it was hard to engineer a mosquito to be malaria resistant. That's basically gone now, thanks to CRISPR. But the other problem was logistical. How do you get your trait to spread? This is where it gets clever. A couple years ago, a biologist at Harvard named Kevin Esfeld wondered what would happen if you made it so that CRISPR inserted not only your new gene, but also the machinery that does the cutting and pasting. In other words, what if CRISPR also copied and pasted itself? You'd end up with a perpetual motion machine for gene editing. And that's exactly what happened. This CRISPR gene drive that Esfeld created not only guarantees that a trait will get passed on, but if it's used in the germline cells, it will automatically copy and paste your new gene into both chromosomes of every single individual. It's like a global search and replace. Or in science terms, it makes a heterozygous trait homozygous. So, what does this mean? For one thing, it means that we have a very powerful, but also somewhat alarming, new tool. Up until now, the fact that gene drives didn't work very well was actually kind of a relief. Normally, when we mess around with an organism's genes, we make that thing less evolutionarily fit. So biologists can make all the mutant fruit flies they want without worrying about it. If some escape, natural selection just takes care of them. What's remarkable and powerful and frightening about gene drives is that that will no longer be true. Assuming that your trait does not have a big evolutionary handicap, like a mosquito that can't fly, the CRISPR-based gene drive will spread the change relentlessly until it's in every single individual in the population. Now, it isn't easy to make a gene drive that works that well, but James and Esfeld think that we can. The good news is that this opens the door to some remarkable things. If you put an anti-malarial gene drive in just 1% of Anopheles mosquitoes, the species that transmits malaria, researchers estimate that it would spread to the entire population in a year. So in a year, you could virtually eliminate malaria. In practice, we're still a few years out from being able to do that, but still, 1,000 children a day die of malaria. In a year, that number could be almost zero. The same goes for dengue fever, chikungunya, yellow fever. And it gets better. Say you want to get rid of an invasive species, like get Asian carp out of the Great Lakes. All you have to do is release a gene drive that makes the fish produce only male offspring. In a few generations, there'll be no females left. No more carp. In theory, this means we could restore hundreds of native species that have been pushed to the brink. Okay, that's the good news. This is the bad news. Gene drives are so effective that even an accidental release could change an entire species, and often very quickly. Anthony James took good precautions. He bred his mosquitoes in a biocontainment lab, and he also used a species that's not native to the US, so that even if some did escape, they'd just die off. There'd be nothing for them to mate with. But it's also true that if a dozen Asian carp with the all-male gene drive accidentally got carried from the Great Lakes back to Asia, they could potentially wipe out the native Asian carp population.
Right. Andrew, you're in.